Welcome, everybody, to Hidden Guardians Podcast, your only podcast hosted by actual Hidden Guardians. Today, we're going to catch up on the first of the three Bungie Dev streams talking about Into the Light. This was the one where they showed off the new game mode called Onslaught that's coming in. There's also some notes within the weekly update we're going to touch on and, you know, just general other nonsense. I'm Outrider. I'm here with Venge. It's been a long, long weekend so far, man.
Yeah.
I'm dragging today. And I mean D-R-A-G-G-I-N-G, not D-R-A-G-O-N, because if I was, you know, that kind of dragging, it'd be pretty awesome.
Jesus Christ. That one's...
Like, I think the highlight of my weekend was, you know, Lego announcing the Dungeons & Dragons Lego sets coming out.
Sure.
And me taking the kid to Legoland this summer, so... I mean, they didn't announce that, but my wife and I are arranging it right now. So I will be in the heart of D&D Lego country.
And it's going to be advertised by Lego. Your trip.
Oh, sure it is. I'm an important celebrity here with the podcast.
Absolutely, right? Yes.
Influencers, right? Influencers. Did you know that if you shop at any of the seven stores at Legoland, they have a concierge service to deliver your Lego packages to your room?
I did not know that.
Yes. I can go in and buy stuff, and they'll be like, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Outrider, we will deliver your $8,000 worth of Lego sets that we promise you're most likely going to get divorced over
to your hotel room. Jesus.
It'll be a fun trip. Speaking of fun trips, the first of the live streams happened this week. Still kind of the mind they could have done it in one live stream, but you know, here we are. They had a couple of devs talking about the new game mode Onslaught, which is a horde mode. A honest to goodness horde mode has been put into Destiny 2, starting with Into the Light.
Like a horde mode.
I hope it sticks
tower
around.
Tower defense.
Yeah. I hope it sticks around, you know?
Same, yeah.
I do know there's a lot of people for years asking for a horde mode, you know, when you're, like, just fighting waves and waves and waves. This Onslaught mode has two different, like, nodes you can join in on. One that has only 10 waves, and one that you can do up to the full 50.
Mm-hmm.
With each one increasing in difficulty. And as Venge said, yes, it is also kind of a tower defense. You earn scrap, if I remember correctly, when you're playing it.
Yes.
And you can buy upgrades to the point that you're defending, adding laser walls, turrets, some other, you know, like decoys. I think there's like
the decoys that
pop up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. And you basically hold the line and trying to keep this one.
The ADU.
Yeah, you keep it from taking too much damage and failing. And I think you even, like, run around and pick up, like, electro orbs and do the gambit thing and dunk those orbs. Keep it powered up.
Yeah.
What are your overall thoughts when you saw Onslaught was being added into the slate of activities? Ritual activities. Did you say it's going into the ritual place?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was kind of cool. I hope that it's something that they can continue to build on, and I don't think anybody would be upset if we had a horde mode that kept changing and evolving and stuff like that. It does overall seem a little basic, but it's also for you know, a free update in between now and the final shape. So I get it. I guess it's, you can't expect the world for something out of a free update, but I do like the tower defense aspects of it. Mm-hmm. I think one thing I wish that you could do is have a little more freedom in terms of where things go. Okay. Just because it seems like, you know, everything is like where it is where it's going to be at. You can't just choose to put a turret, you know, over in this line or something like that. But
yeah, they're kind of like stationary points that are predetermined as to where you can put your upgrades and then upgrade the upgrades. So
yeah. You know. And then, like you said, it's something that a lot of people have wanted for a long time. So hopefully too many people don't find a whole lot of issues with it.
I would have been happy with the Horde mode like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
For me, it's neat for players that are really hyper invested in the game still. I'm not one of them. This is not going to change my opinion to bring me back really for Into the Light.
That's right. For yeah.
Horde mode, which is fine. I'm not bashing the mode. I think it looks solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's something for me to play. It's nothing I want to play at this time. I think a big chunk of that most likely has to deal with the loot that you kind of see during the play sessions.
I know we know of what, at least 2 or 3 other weapons, or I guess 3 weapons for sure now. You got Midnight Coup, like Noah was using. A Hung Jury was one of the drops that he walked over for like an engram. Which I hope is the last time we have Hung Jury as a weapon, because it's the fourth, pretty sure the fourth iteration of it in Destiny 2.
Yeah, it came back in Grandmaster Nightfalls, then they took it away, then it returned in Grandmaster Nightfalls when like Kinetic Tremors was new, and then mm-hmm. they took it away again, or it's going away right now, or something like that.
Yeah, and then one of the pictures from this week, it looks like the Hunter's got a like a Luna's Howl. Luna's Howl, like, Not Forgotten.
Well, it's not Not Forgotten. Not Forgotten looks way different than Luna's Howl does.
I mean, I also hope that Not Forgotten does not come back as a world drop.
Well, here's the thing. You've had fans and the fan base taking that picture that's on, you know, Bungie.net and the Destiny 2 section for this week's update and blowing it up and taking a really, really, really in-depth look at that gun, where from a distance it looks like Luna's Howl, but it has some other elements on it that it could be this other gun, like, oh god, what the hell is it called, like King something or other. It's the same, like, model, but it's not
one. Anymore. One thing that I've seen people think that it could be is Lord Highfixer from Destiny 1.
That's it, Lord's Highfixer. Yes, and frankly, I think I'd be fine with Luna's Howl coming back at this point, because they're just redoing the perks that made these things unique to fit in a current sandbox and to apply them to other weapons. Magnificent Howl, I mean, that got nerfed into the ground. Sunsetting happened, they nerfed that thing into the dirt. So them taking another pass at it and making Magnificent Howl usable, but something you can put on other weapons, I think it'd be cool to see it come back. I really do. If it's Lord's Highfixer, I think a lot of people are going to be very angry.
Why?
It's not something cooler than what they're getting, you know? But come on. We've had the Onslaught perk itself come back, which was limited originally only to the Breakneck Auto Rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Killing Tally is in the game, which was originally only on, what was it, 21% Delirium, which was the Gambit LMG chase weapon. I would not be shocked if Recluse makes a return at some point with an updated version of Master of Arms.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if the Mountaintop comes back and Micro Missile stays what it is, because it's basically just firing a projectile in a straight line. You know. It was everything else about the Mountaintop that made the Mountaintop truly lethal. Now put the, you know, Micro Missile on a heavy grenade launcher and we're in business, right? That's what I'm thinking, right? Right?
No comment.
No.
I'm leaving that one alone.
Come on, Micro Missile Reconstruction. Put on a extended mag perk on it. Spike grenades. Got 14 rounds in the barrel.
Stop it.
No. I want it back. Not Forgotten. I don't know if it's going to be as lethal as it was, because one of the things I think Not Forgotten had on it was Rangefinder, which Luna's Owl didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And they've changed Rangefinder a little bit. So it's not like this necessary mandated PvP perk. And if it does come back, these things are all going to roll with random rolls. I don't really know. Anyways, so
I hope Not Forgotten does not come back as a world drop, personally.
I don't think it should. And that's just me on a very personal level saying I don't think
it should. I think Luna's Howl is fine, but Not Forgotten should not come back as a world drop.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just for me, seeing more old guns coming back, even if they're rolling with random perks, just doesn't appeal. I know, it's a free update. That's an argument people make. I know they're on a limited crunch to get this stuff out. They have a very limited time frame to work on it and get it out and make it functioning and make it good and exciting. For the people that never experienced weapons like this before, this is going to be cool. Somebody that's been playing the game for 10 years, seeing a whole bunch of these old weapons coming back, even if I was saying I want Micro Missile back, which I'm talking about a perk, not necessarily the Mountaintop specifically, I'm like, oh, come on, get some new guns here, please. That's what the expansion's for, though. That's where all the new guns are.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade. I'm just, these are my thoughts as, you know, we're going through them. I think this is going to be a net positive for people that are playing. I do.
I agree. Yeah.
I think people will enjoy it. It'll be kind of cool. They'll have a good time, you know, doing their little fortifications and horde modes and stuff. I think. Did they say? I couldn't remember. If you did the full 50 waves, which do progressively get harder, like, how much loot do you get at the end? Did they give any indication for that?
I think the only real comparison I heard was what they've done with the end room and the coil.
Oh, that's, see, that,
where
that's,
if you get that far, you should get showered in loot. But
yeah,
we'll
if
see.
You get to that, if you get to the wish room and the coil after, you know, getting all the points you require and getting a platinum score, yeah, you get a lot of stuff. I mean, you could almost fill out your postmaster if it's totally empty.
Mm-hmm.
You have no spaces on yourself. That's how much stuff you get. So if that's what you get for 50 waves, that's awesome. 50 waves of work might take you an hour, though.
Yeah, it's definitely going to require some commitment.
It's definitely an investment, and I think it's something you want to do with a fire team that's pre-made and not random people from the app or matchmaking. But we'll see.
I know the 51 is not going to have matchmaking. It's just the 10 one, but...
That's good. That is good. That's smart. Oh, yes, and I think it's like each 10 waves you get done, you go into a boss fight.
That's like, I think they said every 10 waves on the 6th through the 10th, you go into like the pyramid side of where things are screwed up. And then you fight a few waves in there, and the 10th wave is a boss. And then after you get the boss, you go back to, like in the case from this week, you know, back to Midtown. And I'm pretty sure they said there's supposed to be two other maps. It is both going to be Crucible maps. So, like, if it's based on that and, you know, it's in the last city, like, I feel like you can kind of narrow down where it's probably going to be. Like, Bannerfall is probably going to be one. Twilight Gap is a good option for the other one. Maybe it is actually just those two. I can't think of PvP maps right now. So,
Midtown is the main one that they showed.
Yeah, that's the one we had this week.
And I'm a little bit incredulous with people complaining about Midtown being used as the location for this.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people complaining about Midtown when it shows up on a PvP map to begin with. It's too big. I don't like playing on it. It's like, okay, fine. So they're repurposing it into a horde mode, into a defense mode, which I think works really well.
I think it does too, honestly.
So,
and there's obviously some changes made due to like four onslaught of what the map looks like because of the pyramid tech and all that. But
yeah, there's been a lot of work going on here, folks. You know, if you're interested, give it a shot. You might be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
What else do we got here? Yes, the next live stream will be part two. Will be on the 26th, so this coming Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to touch on at the same time, so 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, if you're in the U.S. They're going to talk about the Brave Arsenal weapons. Because, I mean, Lord Shax is our vendor, if I remember right.
Yep.
And he's opening up his personal vault for this. Well, he should be handing out Ray's lighters to everybody, though, because that son of a bitch has one. We've seen
the
it.
The only one.
the three bullet points they have is Brave Arsenal weapons, a new social space, plus new rewards, and a Destiny 2 Year 1 inspired armor and more. Okay, so this is going to be like, you know, kind of like the loot-centric. Live stream.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still running their thing where, you know, you can get your Twitch emblems. I think they had a problem this with the first one, so they're gonna keep the live streams going longer so you get your time to get the drops to complete.
Yeah, their initial time that they said was like 30 minutes and then 2 hours, and the first one is an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I think even if you watched the entire thing this week, I'm pretty sure you didn't get the emblem.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I can't remember if the second one is actually now at 3 hours or if it's still at 2 hours, but they've extended the time they're going to stay live.
Yeah, so in addition to exciting previews, you'll have a chance to earn some sweet emblems. If you watch at least 60 minutes, so 1 hour, across any of the three live streams, you'll earn the Those Hold Deer emblem.
Okay.
If you watch
yeah.
for at least 3 hours total, you will also earn an additional emblem called Echo Diamond.
Timer so I don't know if that's a I don't know if that's a Twitch mistake or if that was a Bungie mistake, but yeah, it was 30 minutes and 2 hours. So
I think it was a, it was just a mistake. I don't know whose fault that was, but they do go on to say, because we're unable to adjust the requirements for active drops without removing progress already gained, we'll be remaining live until 11:30 PM Pacific. So 2:30 PM Eastern. For the next two streams to give players extra time to earn these emblems.
No,
essentially,
so
these live streams are going to be an hour and a half long each. So if you just sit there from start to finish on both of them, you'll earn both emblems.
Yeah, and I'm fairly certain they're also only going to go for probably an hour and just let either gameplay or something sit for in the last half hour. But
yeah, so there you go with that. And, you know, we'll be talking about what is announced formally next week, because we can still only speculate. We only know so much based on what you've seen, you know. So this will be the loot thing. Hopefully they give you a better glimpse as to what kind of loot you can earn. My hope is they kind of maybe keep one or two things close to the chest and don't tell anybody that they're going to be in the game. You know, so you wouldn't find out till April 9th when everything goes live and the patch goes through. It just kind of be nice to, you know, oh, you have all these weapons plus like two extras we're not going to tell you. It's like, okay, that'd be nice. Hey, two extras that nobody was knew about, that maybe wasn't something that was potentially leaked.
Yeah, because there's a lot of that going on.
We could just do a show on the leaks, because some of these leaks are so stupid, it's just not funny. It's funny, but they're just so bad. That I'm sitting there going, how could these possibly be real? They make some of the most ridiculous leaks from, like, Beyond Light look plausible.
Yeah,
it's like there's no way in hell any of that shit's gonna happen. But we won't do that. Let's see. PvP Strike Team has a little bit of a sandbox update.
That they do.
Yeah. So a little bit of a fine tuning is gonna happen. Do you want to read off some of these?
Sure. I'll just start with the stuff they wrote out for us. PvP Strike Team here. We wanted to give you an update on what we've been working on since our last update. We've been paying close attention to how the weapons sandbox has shaken out following the 7.3.5 changes. We've begun the process of fine-tuning the sandbox for 7.3.6. It's very clear that some auto rifles are outperforming the competition in the mid-range, with precision auto rifles in general being outliers. This is not purely a prosecutor problem. In fact, 6 of the 10 best-performing auto rifles in high-skill lobbies are 450 precisions, with positive outlook being the strongest. In contrast, the Summoner, while usage is quite high, is not displaying nearly the same level of effectiveness in high-skill lobbies, despite Flint Striker perk and the artifact giving it a boost in PvP. After reviewing both the data and the large amount of player feedback, we're going to be making some changes aimed at providing more competition for auto rifles and mid-range engagements, along with decreasing the forgiveness of precision auto rifles to keep their ease of use in line with their lethality. So auto rifles, they've decreased base damage by 5%, which I'm sure will be fairly noticeable. Hand cannons, precisions, they've increased base damage by 6%, and for adaptives, increased body shot damage by 1%, and increased crit damage by 4%. This will give adaptive hand cannons a more forgiving range cushion and will also correct the issue preventing explosive payload from killing in 3 crits against all resilience levels within optimal range. For pulse rifles, rapid fire has increased body shot damage by 3.5% and increased crit damage by 1%. Lightweights increased body shot damage by 6% and crit damage by 3%. And for adaptives, increased body shot damage by 5% and crit damage by 2%. And while some of these obviously seem small, I know that they can be pretty drastic at the same time in terms of damage output. Scout rifles, rapid fires, increase base damage by 2%. Bows, lightweights, they increased base damage by 6%. Note that Wishender and Lamonarch are not affected by this change. That's probably good.
Oh, we can't have people complaining about bows again.
I mean, they still do. It just hasn't been because of Lamonarch anymore.
Wishender so much.
Yeah. Exotic weapons, Sunshot. They increase critical hit damage against players and Crucible by 11% to allow it to kill in 3 crits. That's a big jump.
Yeah, but it wasn't that fantastic prior.
And the last word, increase base damage by 6% to allow it to kill in 3 crits.
That is not necessary. You get gunned down by that thing still.
I think one thing I've seen on that is I think that it's always been able to do that. It's just now it can kill in 3 crits against all resilience. Like, you can max out your resilience and still get 3 tapped. Which, I'm sure there's going to be complaints about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, for general changes, flinch. In the new sandbox, with increased reliance on critical hits, being flinched off a target when using your primary weapons feels especially punishing. So we're taking steps to address that issue. Reduce flinch taken by all primary weapons by 15%. That's a lot of flinch reduction.
And with that, the Crucible is saved. Yay!
No, it's you not. Heard it here first, folks.
No. It's just being a pain in the ass. No, none of these changes are anything that I am like staunchly opposed to. Mostly because I don't play Crucible to any real extent. Last thing I played was some rounds of Supremacy on day one of Guardian games, and that was it.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it felt pretty fair to me, but I'm not an outlier, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So everything was working as intended because I'm kind of like one of those middle-of-the-pack weenies that, you know, benefit from the majority of the changes and the tunings and stuff like that.
Sure.
So everything felt, you know, fine. I don't know how this is going to affect high-end players. That might be more dramatic, especially the flinch change.
Yeah, the flinch change seems, that's wild. That's a big change.
Yeah, low-end players, I don't know how that's going to affect them too. Perhaps maybe some of these changes will allow people to kind of pull up their game a little bit and move out of the lowest ends of the bell curve.
Mm-hmm.
Having just a little bit more oomph on their guns might be a good thing. But you'll have to wait and see, you know? Have to wait and see. Are we supposed to be getting a new... No, the new Crucible maps are coming in May. That's what they said.
Yeah, May.
Months ago. Yeah, it was like May that the new Crucible maps are coming. So, yeah, otherwise, you know, cool. There was a brief moment. It's like, oh, they're increasing bow damage for lightweights by 6%. It's like, what?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Since they're not adding that to the exotics that were being the royal pains, it's just going to be okay, I think. Though I will say, if you don't use it, perhaps dusting off Randy's throwing knife, which is a rapid fire scout rifle, that can get some really decent, you know, rolls.
Mm-hmm.
You might have some fun in the Crucible with it, because it just gave it a little bump in damage. So you might have a good time. So you've officially now seen the because, you know, I'm just going through the weekly update here. You've now seen the Ghostbusters collaboration, right?
Yep.
In full.
Oh, yeah.
Have you actually looked at each thing separately in game so you can, like, you know, rotate them and take a look at them?
The other day when we ran our one Nightfall for my exotic skimmer, I did look at the ship, the ghost Ecto mobile.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's not called the Ecto-1, but it's the Ecto-1 if it's a flying ship. yes, it's awesome. As far as I'm concerned, it looks great.
Yeah.
Speeders, I'm not too fond of because that's like more based on what the enemy in the new movie, the big bad in the new movie is going to look like. And, you know, obviously Slimer as a paper craft costume for the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of cute, but I can't. The price. The silver cost for this shit.
Yeah.
It's on discount. I think it's like 2,500 silvers, 2,500, down from 2,800.
That big.
In the U.S., that breaks down to roughly $28 versus $25.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you have to buy silver is you're spending more money to get the amount of silver you need.
Yeah.
So I can't. That's like Diablo horse cosmetic pricing. No way. It looks good. It breaks my heart. I showed my wife. I was just like, I just can't do it. I never take it off. I never take that ship off.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my favorite all-time movie vehicle. From any movie I've seen throughout the entirety of my life, the Ecto-1 is the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do it.
And I hate well, that. Don't forget, starting Tuesday, there's going to be a silver sale.
I'm not buying silver.
20% off.
No. Go to hell, man. No. It's still fucking expensive to get the correct amount that you need.
Oh, I know.
Ridiculous. But hey, if you do buy it, you can get a papercraft Slimer coming out of a ghost trap that you can put together. As a papercraft gift, starting March 19th. To any person
if you, if, in the store. Say, if you buy it, you can... If you buy the things, you can also buy the thing.
No. That's a shame. You know, it's another collaboration. It's like, you know, there's stuff to it that I think is cool. And it's silver only. It's like, And what makes this really suck is this is also a Sony property again.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the Sony properties are the things that are costing the most money.
They definitely haven't been cheap.
No. No. So I'm concerned. What are we going to get, you know, like Kraven the Hunter stuff when that movie comes out? That's going to be a Sony picture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we dodged a bullet and didn't get Madam Web stuff.
That's just a shame.
I say dodge the bullet. There's a lot of people that were like, oh, I should get Madam Web stuff and like put that into Destiny 2. It's like, I would rather have Jared Leto himself uploaded into Destiny 2.
I want a Jared Leto themed ghost voice pack. Thoughts?
I want the Matt Smith Morbin dance exotic emote where you morb out while you're dancing around.
Good old Morbin time.
Oh, God. Pain time. outside of that, they were doing a Bungie bounty on March 21st. Bungie Bounty for Good live stream on their Twitch channel has an interesting emblem called the Light Lotus. If you got lucky and matched up and played and beat them, you got the emblem, I think.
Yep.
You know, so good for you. Guardian Games will be done this coming reset. So Tuesday, it's over. Go get your skimmer while you still can, if you can. If you didn't, well, keep your fingers crossed that there'll be some other avenue available for people to not buy it through the Eververse store. Because that's the
I do after this. I do imagine that it might be something that they add in final shape or something like that with like legendary ones and stuff like that, but
imagine if
but who knows, maybe they don't
exotic.
That too, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but imagine if they don't and that you can only buy them except for Guardian Games.
Yeah.
Whew. That'll be painful.
That'd be shitty, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
You know when I helped you get your skimmer?
Yeah.
The other day? I totally forgot that I had mine equipped. So if when we started doing the strike to get it, I was totally all over the place crashing into stuff because I totally forgot I had the skimmer on. I thought I had no time to explain on.
Oh.
It threw me off, like completely threw me off for a few moments.
Mm-hmm.
It's so silly. So many games are throwing me off lately. Like, I've been helping a friend of mine go through Remnant 2 because he finally got a PS5. And we actually completed the game for him yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Beat the last boss and everything. And then I go back to like playing Elden Ring. Just kind of prepping myself for the DLC coming up in June. And mm-hmm. I'm screwing up left and right because the button commands in Remnant 2 are different than they are in Elden Ring. So I'm trying to dodge, but I'm hitting the dodge button from Remnant 2, so I'm jumping in Elden Ring. And just getting like annihilated left and right. It's just very frustrating lately.
Yeah.
So many games play similar, but they're different. Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add. I mean, I can say that for those that do play, Final Fantasy XIV's Dawn Trail expansion now has an official release date. It's going to go live on July 2nd of this year. Pre-orders are starting up, I think, today.
Mm-hmm.
And early access for certain pre-orders happens starting June 28th. Apparently at PAX East, where this was announced by the head of Creative Business Unit 3, which everybody knows as Yoshi P. He said that there's a certain other games DLC coming out that they don't want to get nearer. And then he whispers into the microphone, Elden Ring DLC in English. Everything else he was saying in Japanese with a translator. The audience all laughed, which I thought was funny. And he said, look, you know, for we're going to give you a week to play it before the advanced early access starts. And then he stops. He goes, I even want to play it. So it's like, okay. I just find it funny that there's just this group of games now that are avoiding June 21st like the plague for release date. Initially, the re-release of Shin Megami Tensei 5 from Sega and Atlus, which has the whole other side story added to it. It's called the Vengeance. Typically, Atlus does this with the SMT and Persona games. You have the base game coming out, and like a year later or so, they release a upgraded version on consoles that it wasn't available or platforms it wasn't available on with this new hotness, which is generally substantial. and it was also releasing initially on June 21st. They moved up to June 14th. For the same reason.
I mean, didn't that also happen with Cyberpunk? Wasn't there games that were moving their release dates around Cyberpunk, and even Cyberpunk kept moving around?
Yeah, they were. Yes, there were games that were like, you know, we want to do this. We're going to set our new release date here. And then Cyberpunk's like, yeah, we have to push our release date back to here. And they're like, God damn it. And they have to move the release date again. I do remember that happening a little bit, because everybody was terrified about Cyberpunk just kind of devouring everything. And then when Cyberpunk released, I think most game companies, at least the executives, were like, we could have released right that original schedule. This game is shit, you know, and just,
yeah,
they could have gone with it. But, you know, apparently it's extremely good now with all the work that CD Projekt Red's put into it. But is there anything else you want to add to this? Kind of like rambled a little bit there.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. It's pretty short and sweet this week. Not much to talk about.
Nothing wrong with that, yeah.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. As we said, next week we have the info from the other live stream coming for Into the Light. So we'll talk about mostly the stuff we're going to earn, it looks like.
Yep.
I'm interested what this new social space is.
I know there's speculation behind that too, but...
Well, I mean, the speculation is it's the tower.
Yeah.
From D1. You know, or a part of the tower from D1. That'd be all right, I guess. I mean, it's been years since the Red War, and we've been watching in the distance. You see, it looks like people were, like, bots and stuff were doing welding and repair work on the tower.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it should be done at some point, right?
You'd think.
Yeah. So, I mean, that'd be kind of cool. But, I mean, this is also Lord Shax's thing. He's the one kind of our vendor and the liaison. So, what if this is Shax's bedroom?
Count me in.
He actually calls it the war room, so that's why we're confused when we walk in. He's got this big canopy bed shaped like a heart. This gigantic mural of Marasov on the wall. I mean, it's like totally Zap Brannigan level bullshit from Futurama. He's in a bathrobe laying on it with Shimpagan. Pollute your brains with that image, folks. Go ahead.
I didn't need that today.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you did. I think everybody needed to hear that today.
Well, okay.
Because if I thought it, I'm not going to be alone on having that rattling around in my head.
Well, on that note.
Yes, on that note. Spotify for podcasts, click that like button. We appreciate people that do. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week. Talk about some stuff. Hopefully there's more stuff to, you know, kind of get into it and debate a little bit. But I think overall so far, it's like changes are good. Cool. If you're interested in playing it, great. If you're not, sit tight. June's just right around the corner. It's that simple, folks. No hate. In the meantime, thanks for listening again. Be well, take care, and bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening. Okay, bye.